This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. So glad to have you with us this weekend. Coming up, despite repeated claims that there are no side deals on the president's deal with Iran over their nuclear program, the Associated Press is reporting this week that they've actually seen the documents, which will allow Iran to use its own inspectors. Now, you talk about the fox guarding the hen house. Why has Congress not seen these side deal documents? In fact, the White House continues to deny that they exist. Arizona Congressman Matt Salmon will be here for that discussion. And more information emerging this week on the confidential emails that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had on her private email server. How significant is this? Also, after repeated inaction on conservative priorities, there is an effort to unseat House Speaker John Boehner when Congress returns in September. North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows will be here to discuss those issues. Let me encourage you, visit our website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, our guest. Also, find out information about the upcoming Values Voter Summit, September 25th through the 27th at the Omni Shoreham Hotel here in Washington, D.C. You can be a part of that. I encourage you, check that out, tonyperkins.com. Also, coming out September the 8th, my new book, No Fear. You can find out more about that as well at the website, tonyperkins.com. Well, as if the Iran nuclear negotiations between the P5 plus one weren't bad enough, it is now being reported that the United Nations will allow the Iranians to use their own inspectors to investigate the sites where they've been accused of developing nuclear arms. Now, this is a part of one of those side deals, and the AP is reporting they've actually seen the documents, despite the fact that the White House says there are no such things. Why is it that Congress is not getting all the information, but yet being asked to vote up or down on this issue? Joining me now with his reaction to this latest news is a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the representative from the 5th Congressional District of the state of Arizona, Matt Salmon. Matt, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. It's always a great pleasure to be on your show.
Matt, let me just very quickly, your reaction to this information coming out that these side deals exist that would let Iran use their own inspectors.
I mean, I'm aghast. I was part of the hearing just a few weeks ago in Washington, where Secretary Kerry and Secretary Liu and the Secretary of the Energy Department were all testifying before our committee and advocating for this deal with Iran. And in that hearing, John Kerry was specifically asked about the sideline deal. He did acknowledge that there was some negotiations. When we asked him if he had read the agreement, he said, absolutely not, I've never read it. I can't even imagine a guy stating something and acknowledging his incompetence so boldly that he is the chief negotiator on probably the most important agreement that I've seen since I've been in Congress between countries, and one of the most important votes, if not the most important vote I'll ever cast. And this guy says that he hasn't read that document. To me, that is malfeasance. At the utmost, I'm going to rename these three guys, Larry, Moe, and Curly, because that's how they're acting in negotiating this, this deal. And I hope and pray that we'll get enough Democrats to override a veto, because you cannot look at this new information and say that we, with a serious face, that America and its allies and the world at large are protected by this deal. It's not. It's a bad deal. It is a dangerous deal, and people ultimately will get hurt.
Well, and Congressman Salmon, what's also troubling about this, according to the Associated Press, which they said they have read the deal labeled Separate Agreement 2. Now, that indicates that there's another confidential agreement between Iran and the IAEA. And so what's in that document? So there's so many unknowns about this deal.
But Tony, it's so much in line with the way that this administration has comported itself, whether it's dealing with Fast and Furious, the murders in Benghazi, the Hillary emails, the IRS targeting of conservatives. What happens time and time and time again is obfuscation and denial and opaqueness. And this coming from the president that said he would have the most transparent administration ever in the history of Washington, D.C., it is flat out doing everything he can, I think, to undermine our security and our safety. I believe that. I really do. I think this to call this deal is bad would be a compliment. And he said time and time again, John Kerry said time again, no deal is better than a bad deal. Netanyahu has said that. This deal is beyond a bad deal, and now we're finding out that there's one document, one secret document, possibly two. And you said it right, the fox guarding the hen house. We're letting the number one purveyor of terrorism across the globe for the last 40 years guard themselves or inspect themselves when it comes to inspections at sensitive sites. This is beyond ludicrous. Every American, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, I don't care what you are, you ought to be as angry as you can be that this government is putting us at risk because Obama wants to look out for his legacy.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman Matt Salmon of Arizona, talking about new information coming out this week about side deals in the deal that President Obama, his administration, has negotiated with Iran. Congressman, I'm just going to have to say, from my perspective, if I were a member of Congress and I were being asked to vote up or down on this measure of such great significance, and then to find out that there is information out there that I'm not allowed to see, that the AP is looking at and reporting on, I would just, whether I was Republican or Democrat, I think I just have to say, whoa, wait a minute. There's no way.
Anybody that votes for that is the same kind of a person that would buy some swampland here in Arizona sight unseen for whatever price I decide to ask. It is flat out irresponsible, and any member of Congress that votes for this, knowing what we now know or what we don't know, is, to me, committing the ultimate act of disrespect to their office. That's what I believe.
So the process when Congress returns, the way this deal was structured, if Congress votes down the deal, the president right. vetoes that, and it has to be sustained, or you have to override the veto with 2/3 vote of the Congress.
Right. What I'm expecting we'll do when we get back, Tony, is hear and mark up a measure of disapproval, which will go through both bodies. And I believe that we will have, you know, whether or not, I'm not sure or not whether the Senate has to get past cloture, so which means that before they can even have a vote, they have to get to 60. I don't believe on this case they did. I think that was included in the Corker bill. But needless to say, I believe that there are enough votes to pass the resolution of non-approval. The president has said he will veto that, so the details of the devil are going to be whether or not we can override a veto. Mm-hmm. Some Democrats, prominent Democrats, in fact, the guy that's going to be the next minority leader in the Senate, Charles Schumer, has already said he will not support the deal. Bob Menendez, former chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Senate, has said he won't vote for the deal. We'll just see if there's enough others in the Senate to sustain. There have been several in the House that have said that they won't support the deal, like Elliot Engel, the ranking member from the Democrat side on foreign affairs. I think Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Steve Israel have expressed great concerns about the deal, which shows how seriously bad this deal is. When folks like that who have been sycophants from the word go for this president on all of his failed policies are questioning whether this is good, shows you how bad this deal is. We'll see. I believe that we should have the votes to override his veto, unless you're just flat out going to do this because the president's asked you to do it and you know, just totally disregard every other oath of office you've ever taken. I can't see that we won't override his veto.
Well, I was speaking with one of the senators from your state, Senator John McCain, and I was taken back by what he said. He said this was what he saw on this vote on Iran. He said was the most significant vote that he believes he'll ever cast in the United States Senate. I thought that was very significant.
Time and time again, in hearings that we've had on foreign affairs, we've had some of the greatest foreign affairs minds that have run policy over the last several decades testifying before a committee, and every one of them said that. you know, you will not have cash. It wasn't even more significant, you know, than some of the votes to go to war that we've had in the last 40, 50 years. This will be the most significant vote that we will have cast. Iran is the number one purveyor of terrorism, even with the limited resources that they've had and their economy being on their knees. They've still found a way to funnel money to Hamas and other terrorist groups across the world. And imagine, Tony, what they're going to do once they have north of $100 billion to the safety and security of this world. It's frightening. It's incredibly frightening. And I believe that this is the thing. I mean, there are a lot of bad things on the horizon, the funding for Planned Parenthood, which I think we'll probably talk a little bit about, the catch-and-release policies of illegal immigrants who've committed violent crimes back into our society. These are all horrible things, but there isn't a more pressing thing than this Iran vote.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us. As always, appreciate your insight and appreciate you taking time out this weekend to join us.
Absolutely, Tony. It's my honor.
All right. Congressman Matt Salmon of Arizona. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And let me just say this. I know we're up against a break. Congressman Mark Meadows is going to be joining us on the other side of this break, but he's absolutely right. You need to speak to your member of Congress and your two senators on this issue. It is important that you do so. All right, folks, we'll be right back on the other side of this break. Don't go away. We're back with more weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this. On September 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Franklin Graham, Megyn Kelly, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register before May 1st for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you're with us on this weekend. Let me encourage you to do this. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more information about the upcoming Values Voter Summit, which will be held September the 25th through the 27th in Washington, D.C. at the Omni Shoreham Hotel. Great event. We'll have most of the presidential candidates, the Republican candidates. We'll have many conservative leaders, and we'll have Republican leaders there as well. Sometimes the two are the same, sometimes not. The only thing missing so far is you. So go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, register now, and be a part of what's really labeled a premier event for social conservatives across the country. Again, September the 25th through the 27th in Washington, D.C. You can be a part of it. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Well, one of the big news stories this week has surrounded Hillary Clinton and her email server, which she claimed first had no type of confidential or secret information. Then she said, well, it had some, but it wasn't when it came there. This appears to be a big issue which could upend her whole campaign for president. Joining me now with the latest on this is the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee on Government Operations, the representative from the 11th Congressional District of North Carolina, our good friend, Congressman Mark Meadows. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be back with you. Thank you so much.
You know, early in the week, Mrs. Clinton kind of joked about her private server, you know, saying, well, what do you mean, wipe it off with a rag, when she was asked whether or not she had tried to wipe the server clean. But by week's end, she was not laughing.
Well, she wasn't laughing. And, you know, as you know, she made some reference about Snapchat and the fact that they disappear on their own. The difference between Snapchat and perhaps what she did, Snapchat does it legally. There's a real question right now whether what she embarked on was legal from a federal standpoint. And the narrative continues to change each and every week, Tony. Right. We start to hear new things. And that's what's troubling for the American people. Who can you trust if you can't trust a candidate for president to come clean? then shame on us. We need to find someone else to take her place.
Now, the progression here, even in this past week, now at the end of the week, there was an acknowledgement that she did have sensitive emails on that private server that were classified. Previously, she had said there were not any, but then she was arguing that, well, they became classified after they were in my possession.
Well, that just doesn't hold water. I think part of it is she's playing with words. When you get an email or you get some type of classified document, it doesn't normally say classified. It may say top secret. It may say sensitive. It may say secret. And so when you have different classifications, so it may have been just a play on words, but it doesn't become classified just because it goes to the Secretary of State. Now, here's the other interesting thing. Out of all those emails, just think about the credibility. If she said that she never had any classified document sent to her, then what was she doing? I mean, you know, the Secretary of State has classified information all the time, and to suggest that it's not there is just not credible, and it doesn't match up with what the Inspector General has asked to look into further.
Congressman, from an oversight position, as the committee looks at this, how significant of an issue is this if she had classified documents on this private server that was not protected, that was vulnerable to be hacked by foreign entities or even domestic entities? How significant of an issue is that?
Well, it becomes more significant than what originally. We do know that there is a federal law that basically said you need to preserve federal documents, and yet that would be considered probably more of a misdemeanor, even though it is a violation. Whenever you have federal documents, it's incumbent upon each employee to preserve those. But when you have a national security element to that, as what is being reported this week, it takes on a whole new connotation, because then you have a Secretary of State who should be in a knowing position, allowing that to take place, and it's leaving the front door unlocked in a bad neighborhood when we've got cyber attacks happening exponentially each and every day.
Right. I mean, it's not like that's a theoretical threat. I mean, it's very real. We're seeing these tracked back to China and Russia going after highly protected servers and computer information in the government. So a private server that is, reports were stored in an upstairs bathroom certainly would have been vulnerable to attack.
Without a doubt. And I think the other part of that is certainly she's been in briefings. I know a number of us have been in briefings just about trying to be vigilant to make sure that we keep everything secure and not do things on unsecured email lines or phone lines. And this is not new to her. I mean, she was the first lady of the president.
Right.
So, I mean, this is not like a new revelation
right.
that all of a sudden she found out about.
And she was, she spent time in the United States Senate. So, I mean, she was very familiar with his environment and the responsibilities of operating in that environment. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us for this weekend edition. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, my guest. Congressman, I want to shift gears a little bit, because when Congress comes back in September, there'll be a number of issues waiting for them. We were talking earlier in the program about the issue with Iran and that deal that the president has negotiated there. That's waiting for Congress. But another issue that is brewing is that of Planned Parenthood. As we've seen more of these videos come out since Congress broke at the beginning of August, the angst among the American public and the fact that they're thrown into this and really a forced partnership by funding this to the tune of $528 million, they want out. That's an issue waiting for Congress. What do you think is going to happen on that front?
Well, I can tell you the American people's voice is being heard. You and I both have fought this fight for life for a number of years and realized that Planned Parenthood, their number one business is really all about the abortion business. The whole dynamic of women's health is certainly they are involved in some of that, but not to the tune, as you and I know, on the abortion industry. And here what we saw just a couple of days ago, Tony, unbelievably horrific video that my staff said was so bad that they couldn't even watch. And so when we start to look at that, we have got to make sure that that is defunded. We have a very short window in September. The pressure needs to be strong. And really that pressure has to be on the leadership. I know myself and a number of our colleagues have reached out to say that we are going to take nothing short of defunding this particular agency or branch of HHS that supports this kind of activity. It's just no matter where you are on the abortion issue, this is just not acceptable.
Absolutely, and I'm with you. I think there should be no alternative than the defunding of this organization from a standpoint of forcing taxpayers to be a part of this with our tax dollars. And folks, I want to encourage you, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. We have a petition up there, and I want you to sign that because we're going to come behind these members of Congress who are saying, we need to stop this, stop it now. We need you to voice your support for that effort. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and sign that petition. I want to talk a little bit about the leadership, but first, I just want to point this out from a historical perspective. We've been here before. It was in 2011 where we came down to the funding of the federal government, and there were two issues that were kind of hanging out there. There was the issue of abortions being funded in the District of Columbia and funding for Planned Parenthood. And it came down to a showdown with Barack Obama and the House leadership, and they caved over the issue, and they continued to allow funding to go to Planned Parenthood. There is growing concern, and I think it was reflected in actions that you took before the Congress adjourned in August or recessed, that the Republican leadership, although given the majority in the Congress, has not used that majority to advance the agenda that they campaigned on.
Well, they haven't, Tony, and for me, it was something that came with much prayer and thought, and honestly, you know, when you take a position, you come under attack, and that's to be expected. But here's what we have: we have people across the country who say, what difference does it make? I'll work hard. I get money. I'll work for the Republican Party or conservative candidates. They get in there, and then nothing happens. We've only had one bill, to my knowledge, vetoed by the president in the last 7 months. Well, if we can't do any better than that, and certainly if we can't stand up with regards to this one issue on Planned Parenthood, then, you know, we need to go home, and we need a change in leadership, someone who is willing to take the fight on and say, this is important enough to stand the ground and make sure that the line in the sand has been drawn. And for me, it will come in September. We will see. Hopefully, I'm hearing good news from some of our leadership that they're willing to stand strong. But now is the time. September is the month. And it's never been more critical for your listeners to weigh in on this particular issue, as well as others. You know, Iran is critical. We're about to make a major mistake there, as you've already been talking about earlier. But what we've got to do is make sure that the voice of the American people is heard. So they ought to go to TonyPerkins.com and make sure that they sign that petition, because that really does make a difference.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. I made reference to this, but what you did before Congress left in August for their recess, you filed a motion to vacate the chair, meaning basically to remove the House Speaker from his position and replace him with someone.
That is correct. It is a motion, and actually the way that it was made really gave us some time to talk about things over August and get prepared for what I see is an unbelievably strong legislative agenda coming back in September. But it is a motion that's only been used one time in the history of Congress, and it's but it marks the frustration that most Americans are having with their elected representatives. You know, they believe that what happens is they go to Washington D.C. and they drink the Kool-Aid there, and all of a sudden believe that they can't stand for what they campaigned on. And we need to make sure that we do that. And as a member of the House of Representatives, holding our leadership, since I'm in the majority, responsible, is something that, my constituents want to do, and, what I believe all Americans really want is an accountable government that's reflective of their values.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. We're almost out of time. I just want to add, what kind of response have you gotten back in your district as people see, read what you have done in terms of taking steps to replace the Republican leadership that, as clearly people recognize, has done very little with a majority that that voters gave them?
Well, when I read all the press in Washington, D.C., I was extremely concerned that as I went back home that I would be receiving the same kind of reception in North Carolina. And I can tell you, it has been overwhelming, in not only in calls to my office, but people reaching out, Democrats, unaffiliated, Republicans, all of them saying, you know, somebody needs to at least be bold enough to stand up thanking me. It has been, we keep stats at 99.4% of the people that have reached out to our office have been positive. I don't get that on any issue. So it just shows the level of frustration. But why should I be applauded for just standing up and doing what I said I would do when I campaigned? That shouldn't come as a surprise, and hopefully in the days and months to come it won't be.
Well, I've heard from other members, and they're getting very similar responses. They're being asked where they stand on this effort to replace the Republican leadership. Congressman Mark Meadows, thanks so much for being with us this weekend. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate your leadership on Capitol Hill.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless America, Tony.
All right, folks, thanks so much for being with us this weekend. Let me encourage you, once again, visit the website, TonyPerkins.com. And while you're there, do me a favor. Do this favor for me. You can follow the links over to Congressman Meadows' website and just send him a note and say, thanks. Thanks for standing up. I can tell you what it's like when you stand against your own party's establishment. You get hammered. And it's good to hear, although that's not why these men and women who are here for the right reason do it, but it certainly is reinforcing and encouraging when they know that there's people across the country standing with them and praying for them. Again, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and shoot a message over to my friend, Congressman Mark Meadows. And I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, when he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.